Chapter 12, Opportunity Evaluation. If an opportunity makes it past your first level of estimation filters, this means that it warrants a closer look and a more careful analysis of potential. One key to evaluating an opportunity is to use multiple models to appraise, estimate, and predict potential future value and potential future costs or losses. Remember, as a general rule, we unconsciously use our native way of perceiving and measuring value when looking at opportunities. But this leaves much of the picture in our blind spot, and it leads to missing many potential opportunities as well as missing potential dangers. Use several of these models when seriously evaluating an opportunity. It will give you a type of perspective that will reveal far more about an opportunity than just using one lens or prism to view it. Return on experience. We will discuss the calculation of return on investment, or ROI, but I'd like to discuss what I think is probably my favorite model for evaluating an opportunity, which is a relative of ROI. I call it return on experience, and I think that this model is going to become far more important as we move into the great acceleration over the coming years. The idea here is that we can't afford to have experiences that we don't learn from anymore. Things are changing too quickly, and wasting time doing things that we don't learn from is putting us behind. If you are having an experience that you aren't learning from, you have two basic choices. One, do something else that you do learn from, or two, do the thing you're doing in such a way that you learn from it. What you learn from an experience is at least as important as the experience itself. These lessons, when imprinted as conscious reference experiences and models, become the building blocks of development and innovation in future situations. Most people don't choose their next projects, jobs, or learning experiences based on what they will need to know several years into their future. Instead, they do things that are interesting to them, or that are available to them, or that entertain them, or that distract them. The learning element is not seriously considered in the context of optimally positioning yourself for several chess moves ahead. And the tragedy here is that most things learned now will not be valuable in the future. When I am evaluating an opportunity, I'm always asking, will pursuing this opportunity grow me as a person, build valuable relationships, and teach me skills that will become more and more useful in my future? If the opportunity is only going to be about money, but will take my time and attention, then I'm not interested. I have passed up many opportunities to make a lot of money that just didn't fit my value set. Right now, as I write this book, I am working on a few projects and pursuing a few different opportunities. One of them involves learning and teaching mental models. As you've noticed, I'm explaining a bunch of mental models as part of this book. My involvement with mental models has been very valuable to me because it has forced me to practice teaching at a higher level. When teaching a model, you're not just teaching information, you're teaching a better way to hold information. And even though this is harder and more challenging, I think it's worth it to practice this skill for several years in life. I believe this ability is going to really be useful later in my life, especially as my daughter grows up and starts learning how to make her way in the world. It's also going to be valuable to just about everything else I can think of in my future, because having mental models to use as prisms to view and create various dimensions of my life, physical, emotional, conceptual, cultural, and spiritual, will produce a richer and more meaningful experience. My work with mental models has been a hobby for the past few years, but I'm starting to teach in this area more and more, and I think I will wind up building a business in this area as well. Another opportunity I'm pursuing is building a technology platform to discover and share news about the future. As you've probably noticed, I find futurism fascinating and believe all of us need to learn the basic futuring skills that have been discovered and developed over the past several decades. The idea of creating software to help people find, share, and collaborate around futuristic news is very challenging and interesting to me, and I believe that by working on this project, I will learn and practice several skills that will be incredibly valuable to me in the future I want to create. Another project I'm working on is a partnership-based model. My wife Annie and I have been collaborating on this topic for several years now. Most of the leadership models from the past several decades have a built-in assumption that individuals should be in positions of management and leadership. Many of these models are highly valuable and useful, but it has occurred to my wife and me that when you learn how to lead in partnership with another, the entire game changes. The leadership role then has access to two diverse perspectives, which gives it a higher dimensional or binocular vision unavailable to merely one individual. This collaborative partnership as leader model holds the possibility of making more holistic and trustable decisions that optimize for many more variables. Annie and I try to carry out a debrief every time we have a conflict to reflect and see how each of us contributed to it. This has led me to many powerful insights in my life, including the decision made a few years ago to work with partners on all of my business projects into the future. What I'm learning from being in partnerships is truly profound, and I know that the experiences I'm having are prepping me for the collaborative future that is coming up fast. The common denominator of these experiential projects and opportunities that I'm pursuing is their return on experience. I have a high level of confidence that what I'm learning from each of these enterprises is going to be worth a lot more than potential money. In fact, so far these projects have not produced a lot of financial benefit. I'm optimistic that they will at some point, but I'm not attached to it happening because I know the lessons I'm learning are more valuable than money. One conceptual doorway that this type of thinking opens up is the consideration of different types of experiences in life as being potential bigger opportunities than a business or financial opportunity. I approach life believing that my biggest opportunities will be in domains that are not directly related to money. They are in domains of things like health, energy, fulfillment, meaning, love, relationship, purpose, and contribution. Of course, I pursue financial opportunities and business opportunities. I am working on several of these right now. But if you look more carefully at how I choose the business and money opportunities to pursue in my life, you'll see that I'm doing it more for the learning than for the money. If the money works out, that's great. But as an entrepreneur, I know that most things don't work out exactly as I planned, and so I'm keeping this return on experience as my highest value and using it to make the big decisions and commitments. As you seriously evaluate opportunities in your life, estimate the return on experience. Choose those opportunities you'll learn the most from that will teach you the skills, models, and abilities that will become more valuable in your future. Opportunity cost. Warren Buffett, the self-made billionaire and likely the most successful investor in history, says that the most important consideration when making an investment isn't the return on investment. Instead, it's the opportunity cost. Opportunity cost is a counterintuitive potential expense that most people don't consider when choosing an opportunity or investment or estimating their ultimate returns. When we are in the presence of what feels like a great opportunity, it can emotionally and psychologically abduct us. We start fantasizing about all the wonderful things that will happen and getting high on our own emotional state. We imagine the positive outcome we want or avoiding the thing we fear. And then we start getting attached and kind of taking ownership of the result before it actually happens. This process tends to put blinders on our imagination and keep us focused on that one opportunity. Opportunity cost is a fascinating way of approaching a potential opportunity because it takes a completely different view. Opportunity cost assumes that there are several other opportunities that are available where we could invest the same time, energy, effort, attention, and other resources, and that we need to consider what the potential outcome would be for those opportunities as our most important consideration. Whenever we say yes to one thing, we are saying no to a million other things. I was talking with my friend Dr. Jeffrey Miller, the evolutionary psychologist. We were discussing the topic of children inside of inner cities and how they are growing up with unrealistic expectations of becoming sports and music stars and getting rich by playing games and making songs. Jeffrey commented that none of these kids have had someone sit down with them and explain the real probabilities involved and how fierce the competition is for so few spots in the make millions playing sports game. Instead, he said that if a kid grew up parking cars in a parking lot and saved up for several years and then bought a small parking lot and ran it well, then bought a few more parking lots over time with their profits, that they would probably have 100 times the probability of becoming a millionaire. But because owning parking lots isn't sexy, none of them will ever learn about or consider it. This is an example of how invisible opportunity cost can really impact the course of a life. When an opportunity comes your way, sit back and seriously consider the other opportunities that you could pursue with your time, attention, and resources. Don't choose an opportunity just because it's there. And don't get attached to an opportunity because many more are coming, and it's probably not very likely that it's going to go exactly the way you want it to go. This helps you develop a more abundant attitude and gives you the patience to wait for the big ones. Remember, if this one doesn't work out, there will be another one right around the corner. Return on investment. This is possibly the most common way to appraise or estimate the potential for an opportunity. The idea is to predict the potential reward that you will realize by successfully pursuing an opportunity and then divide by the cost or investment required to achieve that reward. This is your return on investment. If you buy a piece of real estate for $200,000 and put $40,000 down, then your initial investment is $40,000. If you later sell the property for $400,000 and you net $200,000 after expenses, you have made a 400% return on your investment of $40,000. This all sounds easy enough, but wait a minute. How will you make the payments between when you buy and sell it? And how much will it cost to maintain the property? And how much is the real estate commission you'll have to pay when you sell? And what if the market crashes and you can only sell it for $300,000 in the future? Return on investment is usually a lot easier to calculate at the end of an investment or business opportunity than it is at the beginning. But it is a highly useful model to use when estimating the value of an opportunity. I recommend that you use it as often as possible. Things get really interesting when you start estimating the emotional return on investment, or the learning return on investment of an opportunity, or how about the cultural return on investment, or character return on investment, or spiritual return on investment. When estimating return on investment, remember to start with the potential return, then multiply by the probability that you will succeed. If you have a potential return of $1 million, and you estimate that your chance or probability of success is 20%, then the estimated value of this opportunity is $1 million multiplied by 20%, or $200,000. If, for example, you could invest $20,000, and this would essentially buy you this 20% chance of getting $1 million, then this is mathematically a 10x return on investment. Most individual investors would probably not take this bet because they don't want to bet on things that only have a 1 in 5 chance of paying off. But if you really think this through, then these are exactly the kind of bets that you should take in life. Peter Thiel is famous for placing lots of small bets on things that have a low probability of success, but a very high payoff. He has made investments in all kinds of alternative domains and done very well as a result. Do the math when you're calculating ROI, and you'll start to see these opportunities all around you. One way to get an even more granular estimate and perspective of ROI is to use this model. Risk times probability times expectancy. This can be stated simply as, estimate the value of an opportunity based on what you are risking times probability of success multiplied by the factor of iteration. I learned this way of thinking from Van K. Tharp, the investing guru. Risk is what you will invest or spend. It's your time, effort, energy, money, and other resources. It's called risk because it's what's at risk. If you invest and don't get anything back, you have risked and lost your investment. Probability is your chances or odds of success. Most people assume that their chances of success are either much higher or much lower than they really are. This is why some people spend years working on something that doesn't work out, or they don't even try because they assume that they'll never succeed. For most estimates, it's good to begin with 20% as a rough general starting point, as we learned in the last section. Expectancy has to do with the results you'll achieve after you do many iterations or steps in your process. This model comes from the investing world, where your ultimate return is calculated by combining and aggregating the net result after you've made many different trades. Another good example of this is playing poker. In poker, your ultimate result or expectancy is what happens after playing many hands. You can lose most of the hands, but if you win the right hands, you can win the entire game. So again, the formula is risk times probability times expectancy. If you have $10,000 and you decide to invest in the stock market, you have to decide how much of it to risk on each of your individual investments. You also have to calculate the probability that each of your investments will grow in value. You also have to calculate the total return that you expect when you combine all of these elements together. If you listen to some of the billionaire hedge fund managers and other successful investors, you'll notice that they tend to invest in both things that they expect to go up in value and also things that they expect to go down in value. Why would they do this? Because the things that they expect to go down in value are their hedges, meaning that these are things that if the market turns against them and goes the opposite way they expect, will pay off in a magnified positive way and save them from losing their money. So an investor might invest $8,000 of their $10,000 in stocks that they expect to go up and distribute that $8,000 among 10 different stocks. But they might also then take the $2,000 that's left over and invest it in gold and options, which they expect will go way up in value if some of their other investments experience a huge drop in value. By using a risk times probability times expectancy model, they will be optimizing for the overall return on investment and also protecting themselves from catastrophe at the same time. This is a more dimensional way of thinking about risk and return than most people are using. And by using this model, I'm suggesting you'll be able to make better choices and select better combinations of opportunities. And speaking of risk, one of the most powerful transmissions of this way of thinking has come to me through the board game Risk. If you haven't played it, then I recommend getting it and then rounding up a few friends and family members and plan for a couple of days of intense learning. For the past 2 years, I've played at Christmas when my wife and I go to her family's house. The designer of that game has really captured the essence of the ups and downs of the real world and created a fun way to practice using a model like this one that we're discussing. In the game, you plan your strategy and you place bets of various kinds, but then there's the random element of rolling the dice and of opponents that you must form alliances with and defend against when they form alliances against you. And because the game involves many rounds of turns and decisions that must estimate and balance short-term and long-term implications, it shows you how strategy and chance work together to produce outcomes. When appraising and evaluating an opportunity, calculate risk times probability times expectancy. It will give you a much more dimensional perspective on the value and likelihood of success. Reminder, get a summary of this entire book, plus written implementation exercises for every chapter, additional bonus sections, and access to a free class to help you discover your best opportunities by visiting opportunitybonus.com. Opportunity evaluation. If an opportunity makes it past your first level of estimation filters, this means that it warrants a closer look and a more careful analysis of potential. Use multiple models to appraise, estimate, and predict potential future value, as well as potential future costs or losses. We can't afford to have experiences that we don't learn from. If you're having an experience that you're not learning from, either 1, do something else that you do learn from, or 2, do what you're doing in such a way that you learn from it. What you learn from an experience is at least as important as the experience itself. Ask yourself, will pursuing this opportunity grow me as a person, build valuable relationships, and teach me skills that will become more and more useful in my future? Calculate opportunity cost, which is the cost of missing the other opportunities available to you if you choose this particular one. Calculate return on investment, taking into account all of the variables that you can estimate. Use the risk times probability times expectancy model to get a more granular perspective on ROI. How many models do you currently use when estimating the value of a particular opportunity? Which experiences are you currently having that you don't feel that you're learning from? How could you change this so you're learning from your experiences? What is the estimated value of an opportunity you're considering when using the risk times probability times expectancy model?